Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My special guest this hour started with 30 minutes, but it's so fascinating. We will talk the whole hour about it. His name's Scott Ellis. He's worked in Silicon Valley, lives there now, went to Harvard and Stanford, worked at McKinsey. He knows what he's talking about. He helped found a place called the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute. What we're talking about is advocacy and helping legislators and elected officials start to get their heads around and for us to start to get our debates oriented around this idea that there can be a point at which wealth serves no productive purpose and is actually harming capitalism, is actually harming our democracy. Scott estimates that to be at about the $30 million level. Thanks so much for sticking around, Scott. I want to give you the chance, your final thoughts, and also where can people find out more about the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute? And then we'll take a couple last callers for the day. So where can people find out more, and what's your closing thought? What do you want people to take with them today?
Yeah, so you can check out the website of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute at excessivewealth.org. So all one word, excessivewealth.org. And you can learn about the excessive wealth cycle and all the key elements of it. And I think my closing thoughts really are, it's so important for us all, first of all, to think about wealth and talk about wealth. A lot of times in the political space, we get distracted by guns and abortion and religion and immigration and so many things. And those are all important issues. But when we're talking about well-being and the economy, we should be talking about wealth. And then we really need to focus on understanding just how big the gap is with the excessively wealthy. So if we talk in millions, the median household has 0.19, and someone who's got $100 billion has $100,000 million. And how can that possibly make sense? And I think really thinking about, for everyone to consider, how much is enough? How much is excessive? And then let's talk about it.
Thanks so much, Scott. It has been, I think, revelatory for a lot of people listening. Let's take a couple of callers. Jack from Merrimack, you've been extremely patient. Thank you. Say hello to Scott. What is your question or comment?
Hello to Scott. And first question, I talk with people who are dedicated conservatives, and I ask them this simple question, which you pretty much answered, but I can't get a straight answer from them, and that is, how much is enough? And the answer I usually get is, well, they're working for it. They've earned it. And first of all, that isn't really correct. We both know that much of this wealth is inherited wealth, and people are just sitting on it and investing it. The second thing that I find is, so how do I convince people like that?
Let's just take that part, Jack. We got a couple more callers. When a conservative responds and say, well, you worked for it and they deserve it. What's the response to that, Scott?
Well, no, I think it's a really tough question, because this is part of excessive wealth disorder. Wealthy people think they earned it. They're entitled to it. They worked hard. They worked harder than others. And at some point, what I'm really talking about is, so how much is enough? And I had a friend who always said to me, how much you want is always 40% more than what you have. And I think this is a lot of what we'll see is, there is, for many of these people, there is never enough. And so I think the best thing to ask them is there no limit? Is it really true that if you had $100,000 million, it would still not be enough? And see what they say. Because if they can agree that there is an amount that's enough, now we can have a conversation, which is it 30 million? Is it 20? Is it 50? And then after that, we should start ramping it down. And so see if they actually think there's a limit at all, or whether they just refuse.
It makes me feel good, Scott and Jack, because I was asking folks this question way back in the day. There's got to be some number, right? This is how we try to dial it in. Ron from Madison, what is your question or comment for Scott? Thanks for listening.
Hey, Scott. How do you differentiate between politicians like Donald Trump or Ron Johnson, who spent a lifetime in business and then turned to public service, and politicians, for instance, Obama, who spends a lifetime in public service and comes out with $70 million, $93 million?
Great question, Ron. Scott?
I mean, in my case, although I do care at some level how the money is earned, that's not my primary concern. My primary concern is, do you have excessive wealth? If you have excessive wealth, Even if you're a good person, I'm sorry, but I don't trust you. And so for me, I don't really differentiate between them. What I'm looking for is if they have too much wealth, they're going to start accumulating too much power, and that's not good for any of us. And so I really focus on that because often there is the argument, which is, oh, but my relative came here with nothing and worked hard and accumulated all this, and therefore it's justified. And he did all these wonderful things. And I still say, I'm sorry, but excessive wealth leads to excessive power. And even in the best hands, as we've seen for thousands of years, bad things happen. And so I don't differentiate between them. I just look and see, do they have excessive wealth? If they have wealth above that, we should limit it.
Chad from Greenfield, say hello to Scott. What is your question or comment?
Well, real quick, it's just a case study, kind of what the other caller says. You know, Maggie, you bring up Ron Johnson, but what about Barack Obama? They got a $65 million book front, and they got three houses that are worth over $10 million. Michelle gets on the stage and says her parents don't trust people that take more than they deserve, yet they're worth $85 million. Do they have excessive wealth disorder? Do you not trust them? And are they a threat to democracy and the economy, like you're saying, and capitalism, like you're saying?
I'll just take a first stab at this because I don't want to put any words in Scott's mouth. When Barack Obama and Michelle Obama rose to the White House, they didn't have that. Okay. One of my concerns is rich people buying elections because they can self-fund campaigns to a nearly unlimited amount. First. Second thing, I want to believe that we can do better with our tax and economic policy. And I think Barack and Michelle Obama stand for that. I am suspicious, as Scott is, with anyone with that much in their bank accounts. Scott, your response to Chad from Greenfield. Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing I would add would be, absolutely, if you got $70 million, and that's over $30 million, so I would say, okay, we need to look at 50% taxes on that part. But this is where I come back to the other part of excessive wealth disorder. Let's talk about the person who's got $100,000 million. If we're concerned about Barack Obama having 70, what about the guy who's got 100,000 million? Aren't we much more worried about him? Elon Musk has $245,000 million. Let's work on the big pieces first and then address the others.
Scale matters. The more you got, the more absolutely corrupting it is. Scott Ellis, thank you so very much. Check it out, folks. It is the Excessive Wealth Disorder. You can find out more about it at excessivewealth.org. I'm Maggie Dawn. As I say every day, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. The Devil's Advocates are next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.